5. A walk in amnesia. I am a lawyer. I am happily married to a good, pretty woman. I work hard and I am good at my job. I have won many important court cases. Just a few days ago, I won a famous railroad law case. I worked very hard for it for many weeks, both day and night. Dr. Volney, my best friend and physician, often warns me about working too hard. And just yesterday, he told me again not to work so hard. It is bad for your nerves and your brain, he said. If you don't rest, Belford, you will get amnesia. Every day in the newspapers we read about men with amnesia. They lose their memory. They forget their names and their past. They wander around without a name and with no home. Do you want to be like them too? I don't believe those news stories. Newspaper reporters are lying, I said. No, they are not, Dr. Volney said sharply. Amnesia is very common nowadays. It is a serious illness. You need to rest. If you don't rest, you will be ill. You spend each day in the office, at court, and at home. And when you rest, you only read law books. Oh, I sometimes do nice relaxing things too, I said. On Thursday evenings, I play cards with my wife. And every Sunday, my wife reads me the weekly letter from her mother. And I like reading law books. I feel relaxed when I am reading them. But you must do something different too. You need a change in your life, Dr. Volney warned me again. That morning, after I left home, I thought about Volney's words. I felt quite well and happier than most other days. I have a good life, I thought to myself. My wife gave me a goodbye kiss at the door. She straightened my tie too. She did these things every morning. So it was the beginning of a usual day for me. Nothing was different. The attack came suddenly, perhaps. I woke up with a headache. I was on the seat of a train coach. My muscles were cramped after a long, uncomfortable sleep. I put my head against the seat and tried to think. I thought for a long time, but I didn't know who I was. I probably have a name, but what is it? I said to myself. I searched my pockets. There was no card and no letter with my name on it, but I found $3,000 in one of my pockets. That was a huge amount of money. Who am I? I asked myself and began to think again. The train car was full of men. Perhaps they were travelling as a group because they seemed to know each other. One of them came and sat next to me. He unfolded his newspaper and began to read it. Now and then, he stopped reading and had a few words with me. We had a conversation about daily matters. After a while, he introduced himself. My name is R.P. Boulder, he said. I am from Missouri. You are a pharmacist too, aren't you? Yes, yes, I'm a pharmacist, I answered quickly. But I had to think of a name for myself. Just at that moment, luckily, I noticed a big advertisement in the man's newspaper. And I saw a name in it. So I said, my name is Edward Pinkhammer. I live in Cornopolis, Kansas. I am glad that our meeting is in New York this year. I've never seen New York before, Mr. Boulder said. Are all the passengers in this car pharmacists? I asked him. Yes, they are all going to the yearly meeting like you and me, the man answered. Then he pointed to a news story in his newspaper. Look, here is another fake case of amnesia. I don't believe the news about the men with amnesia. I think those men get tired of their jobs and families. They want to have some fun, so they run away to another city. And then they say they don't remember who they are. That is a lie. I quickly took the newspaper from him and read the news report. It said, Denver, June 12. Elwin C. Belford, a famous lawyer, is missing. He left his home 3 days ago and has not come back. Mr. Belford is married and owns a nice home. On the day of his disappearance, he took out a big amount of money from his bank. No one has seen him since then. Mr. Belford is a quiet man, and he is happy with his family and work. His wife and close friends say he works too hard. He, quite possibly, has amnesia. When I finished reading, I turned to Mr. Boulder and said, This is a true news story, I think. Why will a successful lawyer leave his home? Sometimes a man can forget everything. He will wander around with no name and with no past. Oh, come on, Mr. Pinkerhammer, Mr. Boulder said. Those respected, successful men are happily married. They have everything. But they want something exciting or a change in their lives. And people think they have amnesia. The train arrived in New York at 10 o'clock that night. I took a taxi to a hotel in Manhattan and checked in. While I was writing the name Edward Pinkhammer in the hotel book, I felt very happy. I was born into a new life. I was a free man with no chains. There was an exciting future before me. The hotel clerk looked at me for a while because I had no baggage. So I said, I am here for the pharmacist meeting, but my suitcase is lost. Then I gave him some money. Oh, yes, we have other pharmacists staying here for the meeting, the clerk said with a smile. Then he called a bellboy and sent me to my room. The next day, I went shopping for some clothes, and I also bought a big suitcase. I spent a few wonderful days in Manhattan. I did not try to think who I was. I went to the cinemas, parks, music halls, and nightclubs. I met pretty girls, singers, and dancers. I dined at expensive restaurants and listened to soft music while I was eating. I also had riverboat rides and went to Broadway theatres. I had so much fun, and I learned one important thing. The key to happiness is freedom. One day, when I came back to the hotel from a sightseeing tour, a fat man stopped me in the lobby. He had a big nose and a black moustache. Hello, Belford, he cried out. What are you doing in New York? Is Mrs. Belford with you, or is this a short business trip? You are making a mistake, sir. My name is Pinkhammer. Please excuse me, I said coldly. The man was shocked and moved away. Then I saw him speaking to a bellboy. I heard him say something about sending a telegraph. I didn't want to stay in that hotel anymore, so I went to the clerk desk and asked for my bill. A bellboy brought my suitcase from my room and I left at once. I moved to a quiet, old-fashioned hotel on Fifth Avenue. One afternoon, I went to a nice restaurant near Broadway. Just as I was walking to a table, someone touched my sleeve. I turned around and saw a beautiful woman. She was sitting alone. She was about 30 years old and had reddish hair. She was very happy to see me. She extended her hand and we shook hands. She asked me to sit at her table, and I took the chair opposite her. "Do you recognize me, Belford?" she asked. "Don't say no, because I won't believe it." She was drinking orange juice, and I ordered a drink for myself. I couldn't look away from her eyes. They were so beautiful. "No, I was never sure I knew you," she answered, with a smile on her face. "I don't want to disappoint you, but my name is Edward Pinkhammer. I come from Cornopolis, Kansas," I told her in a cold voice. "I think your wife Marion isn't here with you. Why didn't you bring her?" she asked and added, 15 years is a long time, but you haven't changed, Elwin." Then she looked into my eyes and at my face and said, "You haven't forgotten me, have you?" she asked softly. I took a sip of my drink and said, "I have forgotten everything." "I often hear about you," she continued. "You are a famous lawyer in Denver. I am sure Marion is proud of you. I got married 6 months after you married her. I had a great wedding. It was in the newspapers." Then she looked into my eyes again and said, "I am very curious about something. After that evening, 15 years ago, do you ever think of me when you see white roses?" "I don't remember anything about the past. I am sorry," I repeated. "You're lying, Elwin, and you're not a good liar," she said with a smile. "My name is Edward Pinkhammer, I told you. I am a pharmacist, and I am here for a meeting," I said. "I am sorry, but I don't know anything about white roses." At that moment, a shiny, expensive car stopped in front of the restaurant, and she stood up to leave. I held her hand politely and bowed. "Goodbye, Mr. Belford," she said sadly, and walked to the car. I went to a theatre on Broadway that night. When I returned to the hotel, a small man in dark clothes came near me and said, "Mr. Pinkhammer, can we have a short talk in that room over there? It's very important." "Certainly," I answered, and followed him. There was a lady and a gentleman in the room. The lady was very beautiful, but she looked very sad and tired. She was in a travel costume, and it was very fashionable. She wanted to come forward to me, but the man stopped her. He had a serious face. "Belford, my old friend," he cried out, "I am very happy to see you again. Don't worry, everything is all right. You were working too hard, but you didn't listen to my warnings. Now, come with us. We will take you home." "Several people have called me Belford here, but my name is Edward Pinkhammer, and I don't know you, sir. I have never seen you in my life," I said. Then the woman came up to me and put her arms around me. There were tears in her eyes. "Oh, Elwin," she cried, "don't you remember me? I am your wife." I pulled myself away from her arms and stepped back. The gentleman told the lady to go to her room, so she left the room together with the small man. Then the gentleman said, "I would like to talk with you, Mr. Pinkhammer." "Very well," I said. I was tired, so I sat on a couch and lit a cigar. "Listen, your name is not Edward Pinkhammer," he said. "I know. I forgot my real name, so I had to find a name. And believe me, I don't really like the name Pinkhammer, but it is easy to remember. Your name is Elwin. You are a famous lawyer in Denver. You were working very hard, so you had an attack of amnesia. You lost your memory and forgot everything. That lady is your wife, Marion." "She is a beautiful lady. I like the color of her hair. It's my favorite," I said. "Marion is very sad and worried about you. We learned that you were in New York. A man saw you in a hotel in Manhattan and talked to you in the lobby. He sent a telegram to Marion at once. He said you didn't recognize him." "Oh, yes. The man called me Belford. And who are you?" "I am Dr. Volney, Robert Volney. I have been your friend for 20 years. Do you remember? You called me Bobby. Marion and I came here as soon as we got the telegram." "I really don't remember you. You say I have amnesia. Is it a curable disease? Will I ever become normal again?" I asked the doctor. "Yes, you will. Amnesia is curable," he answered. "Some amnesia patients recover suddenly, but sometimes it takes a long time. Patients recover very slowly." "Will you try to cure me, Dr. Volney?" I asked. "Of course I will," he answered. "You are my friend and my patient. I will do my best." "Oh, thank you," I cried out. "You are a doctor, so you won't tell anyone what I say. My words must be a secret between you and me." "Yes, of course," he said. "Don't worry." Then I got up from the couch. There was a vase of white roses on the coffee table. I took the roses out from the vase and threw them out of the window. "I prefer to get better suddenly, Bobby," I said. "I am tired of all this. Please bring Marion here now. I missed her very much." Then I patted the doctor on his shoulder and said, "Oh, Bobby, my friend, everything was wonderful. I had great fun."